Today's daf is Shkolim daf Yud Ches, and we are 9 lines from the bottom of daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, the 2 dots, Shisha l'Nedava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadi ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Chaya Devorah Basorah Shprinza, Shmuel ben Tehila, and Tinoik ben Shoshana Bracha. Today's daf is also being learned as a Schus V'Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral, and today's daf is being learned to Ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibodah L'Chaim Toivim Ramoshe Chaim. So we're in the middle of discussing the 13 shofarim. The Mishnah had said in the beginning of the Perek that there were 13 Hishtach Avoyos, 13 Shulchanos, and there were 13 shofarim. We discussed the 13 Hishtach Avoyos, we discussed the 13 Shulchanos. Now we are in the middle of discussing the 13 shofar. So what exactly were the shofaris? These were shofar-shaped boxes that were meant for a person that wanted to donate money to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, why did we have to have 13? So the Mishnah said, because each one of the 13 served its own purpose, meaning different monies that were hektish had different uses of proceeds. And as a result, it was necessary for the shofaris to be labeled accordingly, because money that's in one shofar isn't necessarily going to be used for the same thing as money that's in another shofar. And the Mishnah on Amud Aleph went through the exact purpose of all 13 of the shofaris. The Mishnah said the first one said on a tiklin chadatin, meaning it was meant for the current year's machzis hashekel. The second one said tiklin atikin. That's if a person was a year behind, he was in arrears for machzis hashekel, those money were used for different purposes. As a result, they had to be placed in a different shofar. The third one was for kinin. The fourth one was for goyz le'oilo. We saw a little bit about what that means in yesterday's daf. We'll see more about it in today's daf. The fifth one was for eitzin. That's for someone that donated. He said, harei olai eitzin. The sixth one was for levaina. If someone decided he wants to bring a carbon levaina. The seventh one was zahav l'chfayros. If somebody took upon himself, harei olai zahav. So that's 7. The final 6, the Mishnah said, were l'nedava. Shisha l'nedava. So what exactly does nedava mean? Because that's really where today's daf is going to pick up. So the Mishnah mentioned it b'kitzer. We spoke out a little bit more elaborately, and that is, there was a halacha that said that the Mizbeach was never allowed to be idle. There always had to be activity going on the Mizbeach. There always had to be a carbon being brought. Now, some days it wasn't a problem, but there were other days where it was a little slower in the Beis HaMikdash, and as a result, it's very possible that you can go hours without having any karbonos that need to be brought. So what did the Kohanim do? They set aside separate karbonos. These were karbonos oila. These were oilois nedava, because there was no real chiyuv, no real obligation to bring this karbonos. And whenever there was a situation that the mizbeach was idle, they would take one of these oilois, and that would be makrivit. And Chazal, to make sure that this oilois nedava fund always had enough money, because there were days that this was really, really needed, so Chazal made that certain hektish money should automatically have to go into that fund. So like this, there'll never be a problem. There'll never be a situation where we're not going to have enough money to be able to bring a carbon. There'll never be a situation where we have to violate this principle that the Mizbeach for any period of time is going to be without any fire, without anything being brought at that time. Says the Mishnah, Shisha, 6 of the 13 shofaros were used for these types of nedava. Says the Gemara, why did we need 6? Chizki said the reason was 6, keneged shisha batei avos. It was keneged the 6 batei avos. So what were the batei avos? So this is really hilchas avoida in the Beis HaMikdash 101. The Kohanim did the avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. However, not every Kohen was able to do the avoida every day. There was a rotation. The rotations were based on families, and each family would be assigned a week of the year. Sometimes it was 2 weeks a year, sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks, depending on how many Kehanim there were. That would determine the length of each rotation. But the point is that it was for a week at a time, a family, their responsibility to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, within that week, it was divided into Batei Avos. So the Mishmar was the larger group. The Mishmah was then divided into six batei avos. One beis av did the avodah on Sunday, one Monday, one Tuesday, one Wednesday, one Thursday, one Friday. What happened on Shabbos? Everybody did it together. But there were mishmaros. The mishmaros was subdivided into batei avos. How many batei avos? The 6 days of the week. Therefore, it was six. Said Chizkiyo that you want to know why there was six shofaros l'nedava? Because one shofar was being assigned to one individual base up. Now, why did it have to be that way? I am b'mefarshim. It's based on machlekes that there was a concern maybe would come about if it wasn't done that way. Ayin sham. But the first pshat in the Gemara, why six? It corresponds to the six bati of his bar pidiyah. Amar pidiyah is a keneged sheish behemos. It's keneged the six types of animals that are kosher to be brought as an oil. Again, this was a fun for oilus nedava. There's six types of animals that can be an oil. Par, the eagle, the sar, ayil, gedivatla, and there was a shayfer for each individual species of animal that can be brought. Shmuel amar Shmuel says the third pshat keneged shisha karbonos. It's keneged the six karbonos where if you had leftovers of that money, the halacha was the money was assigned to these funds. So we saw already in the Mishnah that one of the examples of when hektish money automatically got pushed into this fund of Oilus Nedava was if somebody had set aside money to bring a carbon and now he had leftovers. So for example, he set aside $100 to bring a carbon chatas, he went to the shuk, it only cost him $90. He has $10 left over. So what do you do with the $10? It gets pushed over into this fund. There were six types of carbonis with that halacha would be true. So we mentioned chatas, but that's only one example. What are the six? Kinei zavim v'kinei zavis, that's one. That's the birds that a zav and a zava sometimes bring. Kinei yoldis, that's the birds that are yeledes sometimes bring. Chatois, va'ashamois, ha'minochois, va'asiris ha'efa. The asiris ha'efa was the minchas chavitin that the Kohen Gadol used to bring every day. Regardless, six different types of karbonis, where if there's leftover money, the halach is it's yiplu and adava, it's a keneged, those six karbonis, that's the idea of having six. And finally, I'm Rabbi Yoichan, Rabbi Yoichan said, I have a more pashto reason. I don't think there's necessarily any significance to the number six, but rather the reason there was six is because it's a big number. And alideisha and adava merubo, ribulu shayfres harbe. Being that there was a lot of need for these animals, so therefore there had to be a lot of shayfers. All you needed was one shayfer for someone that said a real eye ate him. One shayfer for tiklan atikin. As it relates to the oilos nedava, that was a big deal. There was a lot of money involved, and as a result, there had to be six shayfers. Regardless, six shayfers of the 13 were nedava. Which nedava? The oilos nedava that was meant for oilos that were going to be put on the mizbeach at the time that there were no karbanas being brought. What's the methodology behind six? Four pshatim in the Gemara. The first pshat is connected to six batei avos. The second pshat is the six types of animals that are kosher to be brought as an oila. The third is it's connected to six types of karbonos whose meiser, whose leftover money, assuming there was leftover, would end up in this fund. And Rabbi Yochanan said, let me do it six. There's no magic to that number. Six is just a big number, and Chazal felt they needed a big number. So the Mishnah had mentioned that Yehoyada, who was a Kohen Gadol, was the one that darshened the pasuk that taught us the halacha that moiser chatas and moiser asham. If somebody set aside money for chatas and an asham, and now he has leftovers, so what do you do with it? You're not obligated to bring a chatas and an asham. You can't bring a chatas and an asham as an adava. So what are you going to do with this money? So Yoyada Kohen Gadol had a drasha, zen midrash darash Yoyada Kohen Gadol, that the halacha is it ends up being an oil. So we mention a drasha of Yoyada Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara is going to talk about some psukim in Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Chavdala that talk a little bit about Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. Except the pasuk says, when they finished, now they finished what? They finished strengthening and renovating the Beis HaMikdash. Heviu lefnei HaMelech v'Hayada. They brought before the king Yehoyada all the leftover money. So the context was, there was a time where the Beis HaMikdash had been defiled. Now it was defiled by Yidin, Asalya, she was a Rashanta, she was the mother of the king Achaziah. We saw a little bit about her earlier in the Masechta. So she had led this charge that ultimately defiled the Beis HaMikdash, and they had to raise money. And the context over there is this money that was being raised. So the Gemara says that there was an aroin, there was a chest, that people went and deposited money. But there was a machlokes ha-meiram with regards to the exact nature. There were two different aroinois, two different chests that were made, and they were made that way for two different types of nedavas. What were the two different types of nedavas? One was for the bedek habayis, simply to renovate the Beis HaMikdash, and the other one was for kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. Son of Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Shmuel's yeshiva, they said, no, nedava achas. All it was one nedava for one type of nedava. Because the pasuk says, vayemer hamelech, vayasu aroin echad. It sounds like it was only aroin echad, vayitneu behechol Beis Hashem, vayikov char bedalsa. It was placed in the hechol, but the point is, it sounds like it was only one. How can you say it was only one? There's another pasuk that says, vayemer hamelech, vayaseu aroin echad. Meaning one pasuk says that it was the Aron, it was in the Heichal Beis Hashem. The problem is there's another pasuk, and the other pasuk seems to say that it was Bishar Beis Hashem Chutza. So if it's one Aron, how could this one Aron be in two places? A Bishloim, if you learn like the first man to Amar. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman in the name of Rabbi Yonason, Shtei Nedavos, also two different Aronos for two different types of donations. It's very good. One of the Aroinois was in the Heichel. The other one of the Aroinois was Bishar Beis Hashem Chutz. It was outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're going to tell me that it was one, how could this one be in two places? Amar Rav Chuna. So Rav Chuna said, Mipnei Hatmei. Really, initially it was in the Heichel. But there were also people that would tell me they couldn't go there that wanted to make donations. So they took this Aron and they moved it. It's like this people that would tell me would be able to make a donation. Rav Chuna B'Shem Rav Yosef. Rav Chuna B'Shem Rav Yosef said that it's Pashat it was two. How do I know that? Because the pasuk says, "Ach lo yeyase beis Hashem sipois kesef mizamrois." The pasuk says very clearly that what was the purpose of the money? So it wasn't used for kelim. Rather, what it was used for was kilo oisei amalacha. This is the end of the pasuk. Yitnuhu vechisku bayis beis Hashem. It was meant to strengthen and to renovate the Beis HaMikdash. Problem is another pasuk that says, so forget about one or two aronis based on the location. You could always say it was one and it was moved. The problem is I have different psukim. The psukim clearly say that there was a different purpose for the monies. One money was meant for the actual bedek habayis, the other one was meant for the kelim. Now that's impossible. How could you have a steer in that? Oh, muzan, you have no choice to say that it was really two groups of monies. Again, we just mentioned yoyod the Kohen Gadol regarding his very important drasha that Moisa Chatas, Moisa Hashem ends up being used for Oilas Nedava for when there's no Karbanas being brought on the Mizbeach. So we mentioned this Machlekes HaMayram with regards to Yehoyada Kohen Gadol. Either way, we're going to return now to continue to discuss the halachas of the Yud Gimel Shifras. So it's interesting. Hadron Halach, Perek Yud Gimel Shifras. However, the next Perek really picks up exactly where the previous Perek began, the seventh Perek in Masech Shkolim, continuing to discuss the 13th Shifras. Says the Mishnah, Moish and Imzubin Shkolim Linadava. If somebody found money in between the Shifr that was labeled Shkolim and the Shifr that was labeled Nedava. So what's the halach? Does it belong to Shkolim or does it belong to Nedava? Karav Lushkolim. So if it's closer to the Shifr that says Shkolim, Yiplu Lushkolim belongs to Shkolim. Nedava, if it's closer to the one that says Nedava, Yiplu Linadava. Mechzal Mechzal. Let's say it's literally 50-50. It's equidistant between two Shifras. Yiplu Linadava. It ends up going Linadava. Mate ate some Lavoina. Let's say you found money between the Shifr that says Eitzim and the Shifr that says Lavoina. Karav le'etzim, yipu le'etzim. Le'levayin, yipu le'levayin. So again, whichever one it's closer to, that's the one it belongs to. Mechza le'mechza, if it's literally in half, so then the halacha is yiplu lelavina, you should use it for the levina. Bein kinim legoizli. Let's say you found it between the shayfa that says kinim and the shayfa that says goizli yoyla. Karf le kinim, yiplu kinim. Karf le goizli yoyla, yiplu goizli yoyla. Mechza le mechza. If it's in between, then yiplu le goizli yoyla, then what you should do with it is it should go for goizli yoyla. Bein chulu le maisa sheni. Similar. Not related to the Mishnah, but me inyan le inyan ba'oisa inyan. What would be if somebody had money that was chulin, he had money that was ma'isa sheni, and now he found money in between. He doesn't know which one it belongs to. Karav l'chulin, yiplu l'chulin. If it's closer to the chulin, it should go l'chulin. L'ma'isa sheni, yiplu l'ma'isa sheni. If it's closer to the ma'isa sheni, it should go l'ma'isa sheni. Mechza l'mechza. Let's say it's in between, yiplu l'ma'isa sheni, it should go to the ma'isa sheni. Zeh klal, here's the rule. Pretty straightforward. You always assume the karav. So whatever the money is closer to, that's always what it's going to belong to. Even if it's a kula, meaning even if the halacha of the money is going to end up being kuladik because you went with the karav, it doesn't matter. You always go with the karav. Mechza la mechza, if it's equidistant to both, then yiplu l'maisa, then l'hachmer, then the halacha is, you go l'chumra. So when the Mishnah said, mechza l'mechza yiplu l'nedava, or mechza l'mechza yiplu l'levayna, or mechza l'mechza yiplu l'gayz l'ayla, essentially what the Mishnah was saying was, is that's the tzad achumra, and you go l'chumra. So again, what's the rule if you find money between the shayfras, you don't know which shayfra belongs to? Now you're going to tell me, who cares? It's all hektish anyways. No, it matters, because different hektish was created differently, and the halachas of one hektish is not the same as the halach of another hektish. So of course it matters which shofar it belongs to. So the question is, what's the halacha going to be? So if it's closer to one, you're always going to go based on the one that it's closer to. It doesn't matter if it's a kula, if it's a chumra, that's always going to be the halacha. If they're equidistant, then the halacha is you always go l'chumra. Zok to Gemara. Loi hutzricha d'la ben shkalim l'kinim. Gemara's kasha is, what was the first example of where money was found in between shayfres? So the Mishnah said, Moishe nimtzu ben shkalim l'nedava. Shkalim l'nedava. L'chaira, the Mishnah mentioned 13 shayfres. And it sounds like the 13 shayfres were in a seder. They were in an order. It's not just 13 random shayfres, but the Mishnah is listing them in order. Shayfre number 1, 2, 3, 4. So if you go through the Mishnah, the first one was Tiklin Chadatin, second one was Tiklin Atikin, Kinin Goyz Leilis, etc. And then you had the last six, which were the Nadava. So it sounds like the Mishnah is saying that if you found it between the Shkolim and the Nadava, you found it between Shofar 1, true, the Shkolim could be either 1 or 2, Tikkun Chadat and Tikkun HaNatikin, and the latter Shofaris, which is really 8 through 13. So, Freik the Gemara, I don't understand. L'chaira, what the Mishnah should have said was, Loi Hutzricha, what the Mishnah should have said in Yerushalmi language, the law bein Shkolim l'kinim. It should have been talking about a situation where it was between Shkolim and Kinim, two shayfas that are next to each other. Why are we talking about two shayfas that are not next to each other? So the Gemara says, Rab Avun b'shem Rab Pincha said, Kemin buchalyar hayu asuin. You have to say that these shayfas were in order, but they were in a circle. And being that they were in a circle, shayfah number 1 is actually close to shayfah number 13. Shayfah 1 is the first, shayfah 13 is the last. So it's talking about where it was found between the Tiklin Chadatin and the last of the shayfahs that were in the Dava. That's why they're actually next to each other. So the Mishnah said, again, what's the halacha? Whichever one it's closest to, that's the one it belongs to. What if it's mechza on mechza? Yipnu, then you always go l'chumah. That was the rule. And the Mishnah gave a few examples. Not many examples, like the Gemara is going to point out, but a few examples. One of the examples was, if it's between Shkolim and Nedava, so you found it between Tiklin Chadatin and Nedava, Yiplin L'Nedava. The halachna is that it goes L'Nedava, clearly implying that Nedava is the Chumrah. Meaning, you have to go L'Chumrah. That's what we're doing. So if you use it L'Nedava, then it's all good. So to Gemara, why is that the Chumrah? Is the Bayim Emar, some want to say, Shema Yiplu, L'Shiarei HaLishka. The reason that's considered more Chumrah is because even though the Shkolim, the Machtes HaShekel, we used to buy Karbanos Sibur, but only sometimes. What would happen if you had leftovers? Meaning, what would happen if the fiscal year ended and there was shirayim? Or after they did each individual trumas alishka, there was some shirayim. There was always shirayim of the machzis hashekel. And the shirayim of the machzis hashekel actually wasn't used for karbanas. It was used for more mundane things, like fortifying the city, etc., like the Gemara discussed earlier on Daf Yud Amud Beis. So being that it was used for different things, those things were of less significance. That's pasha why you use it la'oil. The oil is more kaddish than using it for the shiari alishki. Someone wanted to say a different reason, because the reason is mechzel and mechzel. In the event that you have a situation where you don't know if you can use the machzah shekel, it's kemisha meis. We look at it as if someone was mafish the machzah shekel and then he died. And the halach is that if someone's mafish machzah shekel and he dies, the money goes l'nadava. So the reason it goes l'nadava, it's not because the nedava is more chomer. It's not the pshat that the oilas nedava of putting a carbon on the mizbeach when there's nothing else on the mizbeach is more chomer than the use of proceeds of machzah. Machzah shekel goes for karbanos sibur, the atomic shel shachet, the atomic shel ben arbayim, all the musafin. It's very, very chashen. So what's the vart? The vart is something else. The vart is because being that we have a suffix over here, we don't know what to do. So we look at it as if the Bailam died, and if the Bailam died after his machshas shekel, so then the halachas is yiplu l'nedava. So it's yiplu l'nedava, not so much mitera suffix, but partially because being that there's a suffix, it establishes a vadai situation of it's as if meis bailam, and therefore the halach is it ends up going l'nedava anyways. What's the source to that? How do you know that if someone's mafish machzah shekel and then he dies, the halach is that it goes l'nedava? Amar Rabbi Yasso said adanot hamon, because when I was in Bavel, shamis kol Rabbi Yehuda, I heard the voice of Rabbi Yehuda shol l'shmul, who asked Shmul. This is dramatic, meaning in short, Rav Yasso was in Bavel and he heard Rabbi Yehuda ask Shmul the following question. He heard the voice of Rabbi Yehuda asked the question to Shmuel that hifresh shikloi umeis, what's the halach if someone's mafsh machzah shekel and he dies? I'm going to tell him yiplu nedava. It goes to this nedava fund. Asiris ha'efa shaloi, What's the halacha if there's leftovers of asira sa'efa? So on the topic, jumping around here a little bit, me'inyan le'inyan, but if we saw Kohen Gadol was mafrish the asira sa'efa for the minchas chavit, and that is leftover money. So what would you do with the leftover money? Rabbi Yechon said, yelichon la'am melech, you have to throw it away. Rabbi La'azam said, yiplo nadava, it too goes l'nedava. Zok de gemara, v'kasho, v'yesh, chatos, kreva oila. So again, we're talking about money that was found between the shayfers. Whichever one it's closest to, we assume for sure that's what it belongs to. What if it was mechza al mechza? So then that loch is you go lechum. And we said the Mishnah gave a few examples. If it was between shkolim and nedava, yiplu l'nedava. Why? We said two pshat and what the reason for that is. Another example was if it was found between kinim and goyz layoyla. So what was the halacha? Mechza l'mechza, yiplu l'goyz layoyla. The halacha is, it's going to belong to the goyz layoyla. Now what's the difference between kinim and goyz layoyla? So the Mishnah that mentioned the 13 shayfers, brought a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, exactly what this means. But according to the Chachamim, kinim is referring to someone that had an obligation to bring a kan. Someone that had an obligation had to bring one chatas and one oila. So the money there was echad chatas, echad oila. Goyz le'oila were all oilas. That was the oilas nedava. So essentially what we're saying is if you have a suffix, whether this money is echad chatas, echad oila, or it's all oila, you end up going le'oila. That's the chumrah. So the Gemara says, how could you do that? Maybe it's a chatas. And if it's a chatas, how could a chatas be kreva oila? V'yesh chatas kreva oila? What's the kasha? Let's say an oila is more chamer than a chatas. An oila is kulei kol, all the basa goes on the mizbeach. A chatas, part of it is eaten by the kehanim. Beseder. But at the same time, when we say you go l'chumra, what we're essentially saying is that we don't know. We don't know. We have no way to be machriya. If it was kariv, okay, there's something called kariv. But if it's not kariv, then really you have a mechza mechza situation over here. You have a suffix. And being that it's a suffix, you don't know what to do. Now, to go l'chumra mi suffix is only if you're really going l'chumra. You can't go l'chumra if there's going to be a kula as a result of your chumra as well. Right? When you go to chumra, it has to be 100% chumra. If there's going to be a little bit of a kula that's going to come about as a result of your quote-unquote chumra, then it doesn't work. So the Gemara's kasha is, how could you take this money and just bring it as a noila? Being that you don't know, you have a suffix. How do you know it's a suffix? It's mechza mechza. Maybe it's one of them as a chatas. If it's a chatas, how can you bring the chatas as a noila? You're telling me that oila is more chumra than chatas. Beseder. But you can use a chatas as an oila. It's not a question of what to do with the chulin money, for example. Should I bring it as a chatas and an oil? Oh, go l'chumer, bring it as an oil. You'll tell me, oil is mochamer, very nice. But here, there's a tzad that it is a chatas. Maybe the money is echad chatas, echad oil. It's 50% chatas, 50% oil. If that's the case, how could you use it now for an oil? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara says, Rav Chizki, B'shem, Rav Shim ben Lakish said, T'nai bezdenu ala moisris sheyikrivu oilis. You have to say the bezden made a t'nai. And they said that when someone gives money, echad chatas, echad oil, there's a understanding, it's built in to the original donation that in the event that this money gets lost and it's found and then it's mechza al mechza, that lachs you'll be able to bring it as an oil. So ordinarily a chatas can be brought as an oil. But if you stipulate in the initial hektish that there could be a scenario where it's going to be an oil, that's something that's possible. You have to know how that works in lumdis, but that's a possibility. Bezdin certainly has that ability. Tonight Bezdin, and it's for that reason this is going to work. But the Gemara asks another kasha. Isha azois b'mahi miskaperes. The idea of going l'chumra again is that you check off all the boxes. You're machmer. How are you being machmer over here? This woman maybe had an obligation to bring a chatas and an oila. So if she had an obligation to bring a chatas and an oila, now you're bringing it all as an oila, she's not going to fulfill her obligation. She was a zava, she was a yeledes. So by bringing it as an oila, she's going to end up losing out. So afraid to Gemara, what about her? Rav Yitzchak said there was another Tanai Bezdin. Tanai Bezdin who ha mesapik es hakinin, who mesapik es hapsulois. The person whose job it was to supply kinin, to supply these birds to the Beis HaMikdash, had a responsibility. It was written in the contract that in the event that something happens and these birds get lost, you're going to have to make it up. Meaning if it's found and it's mechzal mechza and you have this kind of situation, you have no choice, but you are going to have to figure out a way to make this person whole. So this was some of the risks that came along with getting this contract from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Gizbar. On the one hand, it could be lucrative, potentially. But there's an idea of Yad Hektash al Yoyin, as we've seen a few times in the Masechta. And this is another example of it. So you're going to supply the birds, but just know there's a chance that something's going to happen. Meaning the woman's not going to lose out, because either her carbon's going to be brought, or at the very least, the Mesapik Esakinen will have to replenish this that was lost. At the end of the day, when there's a situation like this, these two birds are going to be brought as a Naila. But there's going to have to be two additional birds that are going to come in place. Like this, the woman's not losing. Freit the Gemara, one more kasha. Again, in Yerushalmi language. Loit surcha de la ben goizle yoyla le'etim le'levayna le'zav le'kfayris. Gemara's question is that there's a very important halacha that seems to have been omitted in the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that if you found money in between the two shayfers, so whichever one it's closest to, that's the one it belongs to. But what if it's mechza mechza? You always go to chumra. And then we had a few examples of what the chumra is. Between the shkolim and between the nadava, it goes to nadava. Between the kingdom and the goizle yoyla, it goes to the goizle yoyla. But there were others that weren't mentioned. So the Gemara's kasha is, what happens if it was found between the Goyz Le'ayla and the Eitzim? Or if it was found between the Levayna and the Zav? What are you supposed to do then? L'chur, the Mishnah should have told us that halacha. So the Gemara, utnisua b'saifa. You're right, the Mishnah could have spoken it out, but the Mishnah didn't, and it's because it relied on what it said in the Sefer. The Sefer, the Mishnah said, Zeh HaKlal, here's the rule. Hoylchin achar ha-koroif, mechza le-mechza le-hachmer, and therefore, it's understood that we should be able to figure out what the chumra is. Once we know the rule, the halacha should be understood. So why did the Mishnah have to mention the few that are mentioned? Sa'ayin b'tiklin chalitin, he goes through and explains it. So the Mishnah now is going to digress again. May inyan le inyan. So we talked about money that was found between the shayfaris. Why were we talking about the shayfaris? Because they were yud gimel shayfaris. So now we're going to discuss different monies that were found hektish related. If somebody was in Yerushalayim, that's an important word that's missing from the Mishnah. Money that was found in Yerushalayim, it was found in the presence of the cattle merchants. It was in front of the soichre behemo. Lo oila maisa. We assume it's maisa. And the reason is because maisa sheini, money often made its way into Yerushalayim. The halacha Ma'isa Sheni is that any Yid that lives in Eretz Yisrael that has Peiros, certain years of the Shemitah cycle, he has to be Mafish Ma'isa Sheni. The problem is, fruit are things that at some point are perishables, and if you're going to wait to eat the Ma'isa Sheni Yerushalayim, the fruit may go bad. So what people would do is they would deposit it. They would redeem the fruit onto money. They would take the money, bring it up to Yerushalayim. They would spend the money in Yerushalayim. Money doesn't go bad, and that's what they used to do. Now, l'katchilo, you were supposed to take the money and buy karbonis. That was the l'katchilo thing that you're supposed to do. So it's for that reason, there was an understanding that if you find money around the Seichre Behemah Yerushalayim, it's a good chance it's Ma'isa Sheni money. Ma'isa Sheni money has Kedusha. That's what the Mishnah says. Money that was found in the presence of the Seichre Behemah, where in Yerushalayim, if this is in Naharda, in Pompadisa, then we're not having this conversation, but in Yerushalayim, where there's a concern that the money is Ma'isa Sheni money, lo'oyla Ma'isa. Meaning, it's not just a concern. We assume that that's in fact what happened. If you found money on the Harabayas, we assume the money is chulin. Now, there's a little bit of a chiddush here because this is true even on Yontif. Yontif, you would think for sure the money is maybe Ma'isa Sheni money that fell out of somebody's pocket. The teretz is that roiv money on the Harabayas from the year is chulin money, and therefore, if you find it, we assume it's chulin. Yerushalayim, what if you would find money in Yerushalayim, not in front of the Seichre Behemah? Meaning, the first halacha in the Mishnah was you found money in Yerushalayim in front of the Seichre Behemah. Oh, that we assume is Ma'isa Sheni money. But what if you found money in Yerushalayim not in front of the Seichre Behemah? B'shar kol yimei Hashana, the whole year, chulin. We assume it's chulin. Why not? B'shas haregel, but during Yontif, where you had all the Oilei Regel, and they used to bring all their Ma'isa Sheni money with them, Hakol Ma'isa, we assume it's going to be Ma'isa Sheni. So it's interesting. If you find money in Yerushalayim, B'shas haregel, we assume it's Ma'isa Sheni. If you find money on the Harabayis, B'shas HaRegel, during Yontif, we don't assume it's Ma'isa Sheni. So what's the difference? So the Mefarshim say the difference is that Yerushalayim was often swept. People used to sweep the streets of Yerushalayim. And as a result, if you found money today, it's probably from today or yesterday, probably not from 3 months ago. The Harabayis was different, and therefore we assume, even if the money was found B'shas HaRegel, it could be it's been there for a very long time. Basin Shinim Tzav Azara, another similar halacha. Meat was found in the Azara. So he found a shtick flesh in the Azara. So there's a good chance it's hektish, right? That's for sure. But what type of hektish? Is it a noila? It's a chatos? What is it? Says the Mishnah Evarim, if you found big Evarim, big limbs of an animal, oilis. We assume it's oilis. V'chatichos, if you found pieces of meat, smaller pieces, chatos, we assume it's a chatos. So the oila used to be chopped up in Evarim, and the Evarim were all burnt on the Mizbech. The oilis kula kol was completely burnt on the Mizbech. So if you find Evarim, it looks like an oila, so we assume it's an oila. If, however, you find chatichos, the chatos was eaten in the azara. It's kach kedoshim, had to be eaten in the azara, and it was chopped up because that's usually the way you eat meat. So therefore, we assume it's going to be a karma chatz Yerushalayim. What if you find meat in Yerushalayim? Zivchei shlama. You have to assume that it's a shlama. So you assume it's a shlama. Zev v'zeh. However, in all of these cases, whether you found the money in the azara or if you found the meat in the azara, if you found the meat in Yerushalayim, two bitzuros from yetsa beisra. Meat, you can't eat it. There's no way you could eat it. So what you need to do is you have to burn it. Problem is, you can't burn kachim right away because that's just the halacha. So you have to wait overnight, which is ibur tzur. You wait until it gets deformed a little bit, becomes pasabalina. Then it's possible, then you're going to wait. You can't burn kachim, that's kacher. So you wait a day. Meaning, Evarim, we assume a oilus. Chatiches, we assume a chatois. Yerushalayim, if you find it, we assume it's zivchei shlamim. But at the same time, you're not eating this. And meaning you're not eating it, you're going to have no choice but to burn it. Yetzi lebeis hasreifa. You can't just burn it because maybe it's kasha. So you make sure it's for sure possible. Ibur tzur, it becomes possible. Alina. At that time, you're allowed to. Nimtza b'gvulin. What if somebody finds meat outside of Yerushalayim? So there's no reason to assume it's kachim now. People don't have kachim outside of Yerushalayim. So what would be the question? The question is, a kosher meat or not? So an halacha is like this. Evarim, if you found evarim, nevelas. You assume it's a nevela. Chatichas, however, if you find chatichas, mutaris, then you're going to assume it's mutar. Now we're talking about where roiva the people are yid, then you have to assume that there's no concern that it came from a guy. The shaila is that sometimes a yid shechts an animal and it ends up being a nevela, a treifa, right? There could be issues with it. So if you found big pieces, evarim, we assume it's a nevela. If you found small pieces, we assume it's kasha. And the reason is, again, very simple, because nevela, a yid's not allowed to eat. So what do you do with the nevela? The kelef tashlichan oisai. For the dogs, that's fine. You can give them big chunks, big evarim. As it relates to the basa, these are small chatichas. Near ready, it's going to be there. B'shasa regal, shabasa meruba. During yontif, when there was a lot of meat, af evarim mutaris. Then the halachas, even if you find evarim, we're going to say it's mutar. The reason we're going to say it's mutar is because there was so much meat that was being consumed. People then chopped the meat up so small, they used to serve big portions, and therefore, even though evarim usually looks like you're feeding it to the dogs, b'shas haregel, could be you're feeding it to the oilam. Zok de gemara, loit surcha, the lo b'hara bayis kodesh. So the Mishnah said a lot of things. Mishnah is talking about someone that finds money, someone that finds meat. Did you find Yerushalayim, outside Yerushalayim, during Yontif, not during Yontif? So one of the things the Mishnah said was that if you find money in the presence of the Seichri Behema, we assume it's Ma'is Hasheni money. Ma'is Hasheni money, the Katchila, was supposed to be used to buy Shlomim, so probably you're buying Karbonis with it. What if you find it in the Harabayis? Chulin, Feit Gemara, why? Shouldn't you assume the money in the Harabayis? We just talked about 13 Shifras. Shouldn't you assume that the money is Kaidish there? So the Gemara says, Rabbah, said in the name of Rab Chia, who said b'shem Rab Yoichan, name Rab Yoichan. Chazak is in koyim moitzim in alishkan atchum mechal al behem. People were very careful with money in the Harabayis, and certainly once the money belonged to Hektish wouldn't take money out of the lishka until they were mechal. They made it chulin. So therefore, even though it's true there's a lot of money going around, but there was a certain level of kier that people had. Incidentally, you weren't even allowed to bring your chulin money into the Harabayis. That's a halacha, which is part of the Gemara's question. So why would you assume it's chulin? But the point is because we assume it from the Hektish money. Money, that the gizbar was mechalal before he allowed to go free. Basar shenimtza, if you found basar in the azara. So the Mishnah said, Evarim oilois, chatichas achatois, Yerushalayim etzivchei shlamim. But we said that you can't just go ahead and put it on the mizbeach, you can't just eat it, because at the end of the day, we don't really know. So what do we do? Zev vezet to uber tzura. So you wait until it gets uber tzura, and then it's yetzin lebeis hasreifa. So the Gemara is going to have a short discussion related to Allah and Kachim. Rabbi Loza b'shem Rabbi Shaya. Rabbi Loza and name Rabbi Shaya. He see a das, toni b'tzura. There's a halacha that Kachim becomes possible behesach das. If you have basar Kachim and you masich das from it, it's possible. Why is it possible? We're concerned that maybe it became Tommy. So that's a halacha that's well known in the world of Kachim. But Rabbi Loza said, I heard from Rabbi Shaya that he see a das, if someone's masich das, toni b'tzura. It's possible, but you can't just burn it, for example. But it needs Ibur Tzura first, and then you can burn it. So the Gemara said, Amr Rabbi Shai. Rabbi Shai said, Masis Amr Kain, I have a riot from a Mishnah. This is what Rabbi Shai said. Because the Mishnah said, to Uba Tzura, sorry, V'yetze L'beis HaSreifa, you found meat. You're not eating the meat, you're not being makriv the meat. Why? So here's the punchline. Presumably, Rabbi Shai said, because it was Hesach Hadas. And what did the Mishnah say? To ubar tzurasa, and then afterwards, he ate the base hasreifa. So he's saying, Meris, you need ibar tzura first, even though it became possible hashadas. Meaning, you would have thought that once it's possible hashadas, maybe it doesn't need ibar tzura. Kamash malon, that even though it has the psul of of Hesach Hadas still requires Ibur Tzur. And really, the background to this halach is something we saw in Mesachtes Pesachim more than once, is that some psulim require Ibur Tzur, some psulim do not require Ibur Tzur. So Rabbi Shaya was saying that Hesach Hadas is a psul that requires Ibur Tzur. The Raya is, because if you found this meat, what's the halacha? First to Uber Tzurasna, and then afterwards the Eitzel Beis HaSreifa. I'm Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi said, and there's a big shaila how to learn the next part of the Gemara. We'll pick one. Rabbi Yossi said, V'yaos! Malashim bitmiya, is that true? Lo achloi ein at yochol. Shemin is kalkol tzurasnoi. The fikein tzorech meymar tuba tzurasa v'yetzel abeis hasreif. Meaning, Rabbi Yosef told Rabbi Shai, lo oilam, I'll tell you, that's kachem that becomes possible b'esach hadas, that loch doesn't require ibur tzura. You can burn it right away. You want to know why here you need ibur tzura? Because how do you know it? How do you know that it didn't have Ibur Tzura already? Meaning that you don't know over here what happened to it is because we're concerned that maybe this is really kosher, and being that it's really kosher, so it's for that reason that you're going to need Ibur Tzura. The psul over here is not necessarily related to the fact that there was a psul Hesach Hadas. If the psul over here was because of Hesach Hadas, then Anachinami. But being that we don't know what happened over here, it could be it has nothing to do with Hesach Hadas. And could be it's just related to the fact that I don't know anything about, meaning I don't know what the nature of this meat is. Maybe this meat was possible in already. If we knew for sure that the psalm in the Mishnah was because of Hesach Hadas, then Enochinami. Being that it's not 100% clear what the psalm in the Mishnah is, so therefore you can't bring a raya. Nimtza Bigvulin. So the Mishnah said that if you found Basar Bigvulin. So what's the halacha? If you found a varim, if there were big limbs that you found, so then the halachas we assume it's an avela. If you found chatichos, then we assume that it's kosher. B'shas harega, where there's a lot of meat, even if you find a varim, we can assume it's kosher. Zok de Gemara, Rab Krispa b'shem Rabbi Yisbrach, because in the name of Rabbi Yisbrach Chanino, a varim nevelas. When the halacha is that if you find a varim, we say it's nevelas. What the Mishnah means, it's nevela b'teres vaday, meaning boikin aleh mishon nevela, malchus, masnisa amrakein. The Gemara says, and I think the Raya is from the Mishnah, because evarim nevelas v'chatichas mutar. The Mishnah said evarim on nevela and the chatichas on mutar. So we're comparing the evarim that are nevela to the chatichas that are mutar. Chatichas mutar is loy mamish, doesn't mean mamish. Utkavas evarim nevelas, boikin aleh mishon nevelas. The same is going to be true as it relates to the evarim nevelas. Just like the chatichas mutar is mamish, meaning loy mamish b'tmiya. Certainly, of course, it's what it is. It means mamish. So too the evarim nevelas is. So not only is it like a suffix, maybe l'chumra, we have to assume it's available. If somebody would eat it, he would get malchus. That's a chiddush. Reb Chris B'Shem Reb Yitzchak Hanina said another halacha. He said, "Im hayu machroizes mutaris." If you found a varim, but they were on a spit. They were on a kebab. So then the halacha is, again, it's mutter. Because even though ordinarily we assume they varim on a velo, but that's because it looks like la kalaf tashlicha noisa. But it looks like you're preparing it for, if you see it on a plate, then there's a place setting, and there's a fork and a knife. Yeah, it looks like someone's about to eat it. I mean that it looks like someone's about to eat it, even though you found the Ivarim. So this halacha that Ivarim we assume is nevela, it's not unequivocally that way. It's just we assume that's probably what's going on. But if the circumstances seem to suggest differently, then of course we could assume it's different. Teisha Chanuyas, another halacha, me'inyan le'inyan ba'isai ha'inyan. A classic well-known Gemara, something that's discussed in many places in Shas, with a few Yerushalmi knaches. Says the price. Teisha Chanuyos. If there were 9 stores, Meiches Basanavela that sold Basanavela, Vachas Meiches Basashchuta, one of them sells Basashchuta. So you have 9 stores that sell non-kosher meat. One of them sells kosher meat. The Schalfuloi. And now you went into one of the stores and you bought meat and you don't remember which one you bought it from. The halach is Choshesh. You have to assume Misafik that it's Basanavela. Vilnim says, what if you didn't go into one of the stores to buy it, but rather you found a piece of meat? You know it came from one of the stores, you just don't know which one. Then you assume right. Now, this case we just mentioned is a little different than the classic case that's mentioned throughout Shas. Throughout Shas, the Gemara mentions a halacha of 9 stores that sell kosher meat, 1 sells non-kosher meat. This case was a little bit different. This is talking about where there were 9 stores that sold non-kosher meat, 1 sold kosher meat. If you find meat and you don't know which one it came from, it's posh you can't eat the meat. Why? Because in the best case scenario, there's a rive over here, and rive is not going to let you eat the meat. So avada, there's no way in the world you can eat the meat. No, there's no one that's going to tell you, but one of them sells kosher meat. Maybe it came from the kosher one. So what's the shiloh? What are the 2 cases? Did I buy it from the store? Did I just find it? Like, what? Why does it even matter? What matters is if we go bust a rive, then bevadai we're going to assume that the meat that you have is non-kosher meat. If we don't have a roif, it's a suffik. Even though misafik, you're going to go lechumra, but it's not a vadai. All it is going to be a safek. So says the Mishnah, depends. If you went and bought the meat from the store, you just don't remember which store you bought it from, then the halach is safek. Choshesh, that's what the Braisa says. It's going to end up being a safek. So if someone eats, he can't get malchus, because misafek, you're not going to give someone malchus. Velenim says, if however you found it, you didn't buy it from the store, you just found it, then you go basarai. Oh, roiv and matami. Now, what's the difference between the two cases? What's the difference if I bought it from a store, I just don't remember which store I bought it from, or if I just found it sitting on the street corner? The difference is that if I bought it from the store, it's known as kavua. The chol kavua kemechza al mechza dami. If I found it on the floor, it's what's known as parish. And called the parish is meruba parish. Now, what's the difference between kavua and parish? So these are grace of sugyas, the income, the kaimai, but this is essentially the halacha of kol kavua kemechza mechzadami and called the parish meruba parish in the reverse. If I found a piece of meat on the floor, so it's parish meruv, rive of the store sold non-kosher meat, I assume it's non-kosher meat. You ate it? You vada ate trefa. As a result, you're going to get malchus. If I bought it in the store, so we have the halacha that even though it's the same statistical situation, but there's a gzeres hakasif that says that kol kavua kemechza mechzadami, so it's only 50-50. 50-50, if you ate it, you can't get malchus, says the Braisa. This is the case we're more familiar with. Oh, in the reverse. Nine of the stores sold kosher, one of them sold non-kosher. Even it's chalfala, you don't know which store you bought it from. You bought it from one of the stores, you don't know which one. Choshesh, so you have to assume that maybe you bought it from the non-kosher. Even though it's only 1/10, it's a 10% chance. But kol kavua kemechza mechzadami misafik, you can't even. Let me say, if however you found it on the side of the road, you didn't buy it from the store, but you found it. Then you have roiv. That's a lach kol parish meruba parish. You'd be allowed to eat the meat. Rabbi Yochanan and said, hanimtza b'yad nachri kenimtza b'platya. Let's say you didn't buy the piece of meat, you didn't find it on the street corner. However, you saw the piece of meat in the hand of a nachri. What's the lacha there? Is that nimtzes called the parish meruba parish, called kavua kemechza mechzadami? So Rabbi Yochanan felt this was an important halacha to address, and he said, "Hanimtza b'yanachri." If you found it in the hand of a nachri, it's kenimtza b'platya. What's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush? His chiddush is that you could have thought that if you found it in a guy's hand, it for sure came from the guy. It nothing to do with the stores. I mean, you have stores in town, but now I found it in the guy's hand. Maybe it came from his kitchen. So you would have had a havamina. Maybe this is different. That's Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. Zok to Gemara. Rabbi Loza be Rabbi Chagai have a masbech l'ramana. Rabbi Loza was once walking together with Rabbi Mana. Zok to Gemara. Chamo l'chad armoi mekatem in susi mapik l'bar. And they witnessed this armoi, who was a non-Jew, and he cut a piece of meat from his horse, and he went out and he was selling it. Amalei. So Rabbi Loza turned to Amon. He said, "Hadoy to Amar Rabbi Yochanan. This is Bianachri Nimtza Beplatya. How could Rabbi Yochanan have said that if you find meat in the hand of a guy, it's as if you found it in a platya? Yeah, I found that. You see the shegetz, it's going out. He's selling horse meat, literally. How do you know that guy in Rabbi Yochanan's case is not doing the same thing?" Amalei. He told him back, "Kein Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Vehen Shero Oisin Yotzim Mimkun Shal Yisrael." You're right. Enechanami. The only time Rabbi Yochanan said that halach is you have to read the fine print. It's talking about where there's some circumstantial evidence that that's not what happened. You saw the yid leaving a shuk of, you saw the guy leaving the shuk of the yid, and he walked out of the shuk holding the meat, so we assume it probably came from there. But Enechanami, if you have no idea where the guy got it from, then you have to be concerned. Maybe it came from his kitchen. Maybe he's selling horses meat, like in that story, another story. Chad Barnash. There was a person in Tzipori that wanted to buy meat from a butcher, but the butcher wouldn't sell it to him. And the reason is because it seems like these two people didn't get along with each other very well, and as a result, he didn't want to sell it to him. So this person who wanted to buy meat, who just couldn't get his hands on a piece of meat because the butcher wouldn't sell it to him, so he had an idea. So he goes over to a Romai, a Roman, and he tells him, "Do me a favor, go to this butcher, please buy a piece of meat, Vaisile, and you know, bring it to me and I'll buy it from you." Amale. So after he got the piece of meat, so this person went over to the butcher, didn't want to sell meat to him, and he told him, "Loi nospis al karche, you see, I ended up getting meat from you. You, that Romai that you sold it to, ha. Joke's on you, he ended up buying it really for me." Amalei, so he told him, "La basa de nevela, you obviously, ha, you think the joke's on me, the joke's on you, I sold him really basa de nevela." So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmi b'shem Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yirmi said, Rabbi Chanina, Maisa, Ba, Lifnei, Rabbi, it's a real story. It crossed the desk of Rabbi Yudan Nasi, Rabbi Yudan Nasi said, "Loi kula mine We don't believe this person. Meaning, you would think maybe he's believed to say that the meat that he sold was non-kosher meat. We don't assume that. Why not? It's a little bit of a shaila. But in one pshat, the reason is because we assume he was just telling it to him. He wanted to win the argument. So he figured he would shtach him back. And he would say, yeah, you think you got meat from me? Joke's on you. You ate basin avela. But we don't really believe him that what he sold him was basin avela.